Good morning. I just want to give a shout out for Pastor Sam and Susan are in the house. Always good to have them with us. So, Sam, I need to get in touch with you for when you'll be speaking, when you want to speak in the new year. But I don't know if you knew this, but we have a Catalyst Korea. Did you know that? We have a Catalyst Korea. It's because Pastor Peter Han and his family are living in Korea. And so he said so many times, he's part of our church family. He resonates. He feels like he's such a part of our church family. So wherever the Han family is, we have a church there. We have part of our church there. So they're in Korea right now. And I tell people, while following their adventures, it's the greatest K-drama ever. It's the best K-drama, Han Family Adventures. But we've known Pastor Peter for probably about a dozen years now, and we're partners with him. Like you said, he's part of our church family, he and his family. But for as long as I've known Pastor Peter and getting to know him over the years, couple things I know about him. Number one, he hears from the Lord. He hears from the Lord. Number two, he's all in for the Lord. Whatever the Lord has asked him, it hasn't come without some struggles and some questions, but in the end, whatever the Lord's asked of him and his family, like crazy things, just stepping out in faith. So he obeys, follows the leading of the Lord. And then three, he's very, very connected with, not only connected with the Lord, but he's connected with things that are happening in the world today. He's back traveling again all over the world. He gets to meet with very, very high, like finance ministers of different countries. This is of countries, the finance ministers of the countries, business leaders, spiritual leaders. Is very connected and gets to hear from their perspective, what they see is happening in the world today. And so for us, for me, I feel like Pastor Peter, he carries a prophetic gifting. I wouldn't call him a prophet, but he carries prophetic gifting, which means he speaks for the Lord at times. He will give words from the Lord, messages from the Lord at times. And I value that tremendously in our church. In fact, you know, we have our mission or our vision for our church is to be a city on a hill. That came from Pastor Peter at our retreat last year when we were in an intercession time. Several things in our church that we're doing, it's a result of Pastor Peter and things he's spoken. And he really felt, we Zoom call with him usually about once a month, and he really felt like the Lord calling him to come to the United States in this season. He's very busy traveling all over the world, a lot of meetings with people, but he felt the Lord calling him to come to the United States and in part specifically come and to deliver a message, a word from the Lord for us. And you know, when prophets come sometimes, or when people give prophetic words, I should say, sometimes it's encouraging, it's always for our good, but sometimes it's just in your face kind of truth that the Lord needs us to hear for the moment. And so probably Peter will bring all of that, but just welcome Pastor Peter Han.
Good morning. My body says it's past bedtime. I'm very nervous. This is how I have to start. I'm very nervous right now because I don't remember when I was preaching in English last time. I think it was last time when I was preaching at Catalyst. And then also, I don't remember when I was even preaching. at all because that's not in my regular schedule anymore. So therefore, I mean, I forgot somehow to preach. So I will just share. I'm not going to teach, I'm not going to preach, but I will share what the Lord is sharing with me to share. But I do believe that we have a word from the Lord that I have to give out. It's from Isaiah chapter 10, verse 62, Isaiah 62, verse 10 to 12, and I will read it from the New American Standard Bible. Go through the gates, clear a way for the people, build up the highway, remove the stones, lift up a flag over the peoples. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him, and his compensation before him. And they will call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you will be called, sought out, a city not abandoned. Let me go to the word first and then imply to the things that the Lord is speaking. I mean, because I hope that I can push it in within the time frame, okay? I mean, you don't want to give a mic to a pastor. You know why, right? There is a beginning, but there is no end, right? Oh, wow. You know, in Isaiah chapter 62, it talks about to build this highway. And the title of today's sermon or the message that I'm sharing, the Lord was putting me to say as a way maker. The highway of the Lord. It's a command that it is given, an instruction. And this instruction, it says, build. Do it. And the second instruction is, remove the stones. Whatever the blockage there are, we have to remove it. So it doesn't come on an easy way. You have to work. It's not going to be comfortable. You cannot be complacent. It's a hard work. There is a sacrifice that we have to pay for the command that the Lord is giving to build. And then the third instruction is lift up a flag over the peoples. I will go to the original language of the Old Testament, which is the Hebrew. Because I feel like that the translation version is misrepresented from the original version. If you take that phrase, lift up a flag, then you come to the conclusion and taking a picture in your mind that you wanted to lift up a flag so that people can see, so that you can draw the people into that position where you are lifting up the flag. But this is not the picture that the word is speaking about. In Hebrew, the flag, if you wanted to say as a flag, then it's called digel. But the word that it is used in this position is nes. And nes means lift up again the standard of God. His standard, His values, His system, the original intention why He has created the whole universe along with this earth. Raise up His standard so that all the people, and if you go to the original word, the people means all the nations around the world, can see the standard of God. God has never left His position as to be a king. God has not given the baton to anybody else to be in charge of this universe. And He will never do. He will be the King of eternal. He will never leave His position. And He will never demise His standard, His kingdom standard. His blueprint will be eternal also. And the Lord says, raise up My standard. In order to raise up that standard, we have to abide in that standard. Our life has to be reflecting the standard in order to raise the standard that God is asking us to raise, to lift up so that people can see. Isn't it this about the city on the hill? Isn't it that God speaks about how a city on the hill shall look like? And there is these two components that has to come alongside with this, which is emet and chesed. What is emet? It's the truth. And within the truth component, there are two pillars, righteousness and justice. If the truth confronts you, you will have an open heart surgery. Right, Bob? I mean, we joked about this morning, because I felt like that I'm going up here in this stage to have an open heart surgery. Because the word that the Lord is giving me is not just for you guys to hear, but it's really speaking to me where I am struggling. So therefore, I said to the Lord, it's an oxymoron to speak about it because I am not the right person to talk about it. I am the least person to speak about it. Who am I? I am struggling with those subjects. Who am I? Who? I don't have the credential. I don't have that authority to speak over all these people to say what is right. That was the struggle that I had this morning. As I am up since 5 a.m. this morning, struggling before the Lord, as Pastor Barry said, there is no choice, but I wanted to have a choice. Choice that I wanted to not to speak about it. That I wanted to be high somewhere. Because I simply don't want to have an open heart surgery in front of all the people. And then I joked about this morning with Bob and saying, hey, Bob, do you want to lay down here and then have be a sample for that open heart surgery, right? The emet, the truth, comes with a cost. It's not easy. It's very uncomfortable. It shakes you up. You feel like very bumpy. You don't feel comfortable because you are confronted with the very truth. There is no way out. There is no choice for you to take. But there is this chesed that comes along with emet, which is loving kindness. But it is more than loving kindness. Chesed is translated in English as loving kindness. But chesed is the internal completeness of God Himself. That's how I wanted to translate that word, chesed. His love. His grace. That enables us, giving us the willingness, the compassion to surrender completely before the Lord. You want to surrender. If you are confronted only with that and met with the truth, then you will struggle. You wanted to hide away. You do not want to be confronted with the truth. But by being confronted with the truth first, the Lord comes with His chesed, with His internal being toward us. And that makes you, gives you the willingness, the desire, the passion. You wanted to give. You wanted to surrender. You wanted to follow His footsteps. You wanted to do only what God does. You only wanted to do what He is doing. You do not want to disalign. By doing so, I believe that we will be able to re-raise the standard of God, His kingdom value, His kingdom system on earth. By living out these two components, emet and chesed. How do we create a highway? I usually take the example of Abraham. Abraham stepped out in faith. But the oxymoron in the story of Abraham is that God called him out of his comfort zone, out of his security, out of his retirement, out of his family surrounding, out of his home, out of his, I don't know what you wanted to use. He completely took him out. And he said, go to the land that I have given you. But the issue is, God never mentions where this land is. He says, go, without giving him a direction where to go. And the word says, Abraham simply obeyed. He walked without knowing where to go, by faith. And that example was described in the book of Hebrews, that because of that action, because of that lifestyle that Abraham lived out, God saw him as righteous. I think I'm preaching right now. I feel like that I'm preaching as rather than sharing. Oh my gosh. What am I doing? What are you doing, Peter? I think I cannot be taking my being who I am. I mean, I'm pastor. I mean, I feel like, yeah. How can I deny who I am? Oh my gosh. One person is stepping out in faith and he is following the Lord. A way that never nobody has walked on. Now footsteps are created. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. God says stop. He stops. We know in the story that Abraham is making mistakes. And it's okay. Do you know why? Because God navigates back to the righteous path. And that's what we see in the life of Abraham. And God continues walk. 1, 2, 3. Abraham looks back. A way that nobody has walked on. But he sees his own footsteps. More people are listening to the Lord, doing the same procedure over again. They are called to a place without knowing where to go. But at this time, they are seeing a footstep that somebody has walked, and he is confirmed that God is speaking to him. And God says, walk on that footstep. 1, 2, 3. More people are walking on those footsteps. A small byway, pathway is created on a way where there was no way. Now, more people are hearing from the Lord, receiving the direction to walk on a way that there was no way. And they're coming to that place where the pathway was created. And they are confirmed, oh, there is a way. Even though I didn't know where to walk, I was not confirmed and assured that if there is a way, but they are confirmed through the listening and seeing what God has created. And they're walking. More people are walking. Now, a highway is created. This is what the Lord is asking us to do this morning. I will come back to the verse 11 from the end of the earth, okay? Because I truly believe this is, I have received yesterday afternoon. You, Catalyst, carry the DNA of kingdom, which is the family. The Lord says, you are in need. You are in need at this hour, my remnant. The DNA that you carry, that God has given to this group of people, a remnant that God says is needed at this hour. You know, I don't want to take you to the whole season. I mean, I have to come from the Old Testament, but simply I wanted to make, you know, in the Old Testament, if you look the book of Isaiah, most of the prophecy, the prophet Isaiah is speaking about a time and season. He says, "Acharit hayamim," which is the last days in plural. So he was expecting the last days to come, but it was not in his time, but it has to come. And then Jesus is coming, because that was the day, the last days that all the prophet was looking for was the Lord coming to the earth. Jesus came. And from that moment on, the Bible changes the time frame to last day. And as Jesus was returning, the Bible changes the time frame again to last hour. I wanted to give you an example of it. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour." So, the last days, we were already in the last days for the past 2,000 years since the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When is the last days are going to end? It is going to be the second return of the Lord. But there is a differentiation. Is it the beginning of the last days, or in the middle segment of the last days, or the end segment of the last days? And I truly believe, based on the Bible, what it says, we are on the last segment of the last days. That's what Apostle John is talking about. And the Lord says, at this hour, this is the message that I heard from the Lord yesterday. Because you guys are a way maker. You are walking on a pathway that nobody has walked. It's not going to be easy. Because you have to build. In order to build, you have to remove the stones. It is going to be a new wineskin. It is not going to be comfortable. You cannot go back to the complacency. You cannot go back to the past experiences. Everything will be new. Nothing will be comparable. And in order for that to happen, God is stripping off from all the old ways. And that, I believe, what the Lord is doing among the co-leaders and leadership of this church. But it's not going to end there. Do you know the difference between a sheep and goat? Not on the quality of the meat, but I remember I was taking a short-term mission trip to the Mexico in the 90s, and then on the last day we did the celebration, and then they were slaughtering two sheep. First time ever that I was seeing with my very eyes to slaughter a sheep, right? So we took a sheep, and then someone was taking a knife and then took it to the, you know, to the veins, I mean to the artery. And then the sheep was bleeding, but the sheep was not resisting at all. Even though the sheep was dying, no resistance. A goat will resist to the last end, will make these crazy sounds. But a sheep will not resist. I know that the word that I am sharing with you guys is not easy. It's not comfortable. It's not easy to hear. And I know, especially in California, I lived here in this state for 17 years. I know what the spirit of California is. But I am very sorry. Based on what this says, not according to my wishes, but what it says, we have to get rid of that old clothes that we were comfortably wearing. It's not about us. It's about him. He doesn't exist because of you and for you to make your life comfortable. We exist because of him. He has chosen. He died on the cross because he wanted us back to be completely aligned for his purpose to be fulfilled on this earth. I know, especially in California, you don't want that. Do you agree? I agree, because I lived through that. But God says he is in need of a new wineskin, because he is going to pour out a new wine. And if you still carry the old wineskin, once the Lord is pouring out the new wine, the old wineskin will burst. And he is patient, but he cannot be patient furthermore. He was patient, but there is a time limit on the things that it is happening on this world. But he will surely pour out his new wine in order to enact, in order to raise up his standards again all around the globe. I believe and I'm confident that God has chosen Catalyst to be the city on the hill. But not with the old wineskin, but with the new wineskin that he is requiring. Not just through the leadership, but through the whole community. As one. And by doing so, because the hours that we are facing will be getting darker and darker. Just for 3 weeks ago, I was in Singapore and I was meeting with very high officials. I don't know what God is doing. I mean, I didn't intend it for this. But since last year, October until now, I was flying 250,000 flight miles. I am all over the globe every month, but I am not doing anything. This is the crazy story. I don't do anything. Because why do I say I don't do anything? Okay, because if I can confidently say I am doing something, then I have to organize, I have to plan, I have to execute, and I know the result, what is going to come out of it, right? Then I can confidently say I do something. It is because of my work that this is happening. But it's not. Why? Because the only thing that I'm doing is hearing from the Lord. And the Lord says, go there. And I go there. And then out of nowhere, I am meeting all this sort of kind of people that I have not intended to meet. And they're very high officials. So therefore, I am saying, I don't do anything. God does everything. And that should be according to the parable that Jesus is talking about in the John about the wine. You stick with him. It's not you who produce the fruit. We don't do anything, but God does everything. And by following his footsteps, you will be amazed how transformed your life is going to be. Even with my children right now, they are on fire. Not only on fire, but they are really setting up standards in the school, which is completely opposite of God's value. But he is not sticking to be politically correct. He is making his voice, even with being top of the classes, academically showing the highest standard, but also he is proving it with his lifestyle, that he is sticking with the value and the standard of the Lord, even among all the people and students. As I and my wife Julian made the choice to live this lifestyle in 2011, taking out our children from the public school system and completely being opposite from the society, we were outcasts. By comparing how this world is living and how we are living, it's just nuts. It doesn't make sense. It's doomed for to be bankrupt. I don't know. Homeless eternal. Do you know, my children were complaining to us. You as a parents, you are misusing us, not sending us to school. We want education. We want education. They were demonstrating every day to us that they wanted to be educated and not be outcasts of the society. And so we took them to the homeschooling. At the age of 14, my son Joshua, second son, he was demonstrating what a parents we have. They don't know what the education is. They are so out of the world. We are doomed to be failing, not able to live a life in this world. That was what my second son was complaining day by day by day. I was not able to convince that we were doing the right thing. He was just the opposition, complete opposition of myself. Oh my gosh, nightmare every day. I'm telling you, in my household. But God has changed him completely. Beginning of the university, as he entered to the university, right? He was seeing the things that it is happening in the world, and he said, this is not right. If you calculate it, 1 + 1 should be 2, but this is not 2. This is -10. That was his complaint every day to me. He was not godly at all. He was still the opposition, okay? Still the opposition of my household, still complaining that my wife and I was living completely out of the world, being just crazy and nuts. Not human beings. But he was making the progress to look through the eyes of his intelligence. And his intelligence was saying, this is not right. And so he was peeling off all the onion strip. Right? And he came to the core. And what was left in the core was the Judeo-Christian value. By understanding the Judeo-Christian value, he couldn't avoid to take the Bible seriously. So he took the Bible very seriously. And he was digging to the Bible. And all the past memories of his childhood was coming back. All the experience that he has made in Israel and with us through the past 14 years was coming back. And he was revived. And now he is on fire. He's preaching to me every day. He's like a Southern Baptist, I'm telling you. Southern Baptist, oh my gosh. He's listening every morning to Paul Washer, right? And then he's re-preaching that message to me. Oh Lord, help me. You know what Paul Washer is preaching, right? He's a Southern Baptist. Oh, holiness, righteousness, blah, 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 blah. I'm a sinner. That's what I have to confess every day. The role of the pastor in our household has changed. It's Pastor Joshua Han, not me anymore. I shared with you guys also the experience that I have made in Singapore. It was not just a brokenness, but I was not there anymore. Physically, I was alive, but spiritually, emotionally, I was just dead, not able to revive. But by just seeing what has happened starting last year, actually from October on, and the progress that the Lord has made until now, it's beyond my understanding, beyond and above, because it doesn't make sense. Because it is impossible to do this, what I am doing in this world, with the system that this world is in it, on it. So therefore, it has to be God. It must be God. I wanted to give you a little bit more excitement. In verse 11, it says, "Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end," singular, "end," one direction, "end of the earth. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his compensation before him." Here is this message. Okay, I will make it very short. Israel needs a message. You have to tell them that Messiah is Jesus, Yeshua. But you don't want to convince them by knowledge, by doctrines. You have to convince them through your lifestyle. That's why God is saying God is a need at this hour of you. The DNA that catalyst carrying, family, being family. You know how to be a family. You don't know only how to be a family, but you live out the lifestyle of family. The Israelis, they have to see in order to be convinced, right? That's the characteristic. And that's what Jesus is saying. The Jews are needing of wonders and signs. The Greeks are asking for wisdom. But there is this one people's group that he is asking, the end, the Far East. If you go to the book of Isaiah, then there is mentioning of islands. Okay, I will read a couple of verses in Isaiah chapter 24. "Therefore, honor and glorify the Lord in the east, the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, in the coastland and islands of the sea. From the end of the earth we hear songs, glory and honor to the righteous one." In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 5, "The islands and coastland have seen and they fear. The end of the earth tremble. They have drawn near and have come from the east." And the pinpoint is Israel. And if you take the center, the pinpoint of Israel as Israel and going to east, then my final destination that I always carried with me was Japan. So therefore, I said, God has released his glory in Japan so that Korea can be revived. And I was spending so many hours and times over the years, over the past 14 years in Japan. But God surprised me this year in the month of June that it is not Japan. Tony Huang, you know who he is, right? Right? He called me. He said, "Peter, we have to go to New Zealand." I was laughing like you, Bob. "Oh yeah, we have to go to New Zealand." And then he told me that he got a date when we should be there. And then I was seeing my schedule and I said, "Tony, no, it's not going to happen." Because based on the schedule and the destiny, and I prior to that departure, in order to make that trip to happen to New Zealand, okay, I was in the state for almost 2 weeks. And before then, I was also traveling. So I was out of home for almost a month. But on that day to be in New Zealand, for that to happen, I had to travel back and I have to take and I will land in Incheon, Korea. And the day after, after 8 hours spending time in home, I have to take another flight for 23 hours to go to New Zealand. And I was seeing the schedule on Expedia. I said, no. Absolutely no. God is speaking to you. I bless you. You can go to New Zealand. But God is not speaking to me to go to New Zealand. I'm very sorry. So I was very stubborn. I made my choice. But Pastor Barry said this morning, you don't have a choice. Yes, I don't have a choice. God was pushing me. God was coming after me. I was under his tremble. And I heard from the Lord, you go to New Zealand. On the day that Tony is mentioning, after me making the commitment, and I was still in U.S., I'm getting a call from a Taiwanese pastor who is living in Irvine. And she got a call from someone in Taiwan, from one of the indigenous group. She was praying to the Lord, and she heard from this, without knowing who Peter Han is, okay? She never met me. She doesn't know me. I don't know her, who she is. She hears, and she sees a vision. In Chinese, he's hearing, Peter Han has to go to New Zealand. And then, funny enough, I don't know if I can show you the picture, she's seeing an open vision, okay? And she's taking a picture. And this is the picture that I got. Let me see if I can have it here. Oh, wow. Okay. Who shall be my witness? Okay, this is the picture, okay? With a flag with many, many nations, all right? And she is getting this drawing across. And there are eight nations. And within the eight nations, it's Singapore, Taiwan, Hong Kong, Israel, South Korea, China, Indonesia. Seven nations. And the eighth nation is New Zealand. Guess what? All the seven nations, within the past 14 years, I was commanded by the Lord to visit this nation, and the Lord was leading me to have a covenantal relationship with these nations. Right? And the final nation was New Zealand. And a lady, out of nowhere, is hearing, Peter Han has to go to New Zealand. And I'm getting this message, and I'm confirmed, this is the Lord. I'm asking back, Tony, what are we going to do in New Zealand? He has no clue. He has no clue why we are going to New Zealand. Oh, my Lord. I am traveling 23 hours by having a break of 8 hours, changing my clothes, right? Because I'm arriving 6 p.m. in Incheon, and I have to leave the house the day after 8 a.m., all right? I just say, hi, Julian, and say goodbye, Julian, all right? And he has no clue why we are going there, right? I'm on a flight 23 hours because there is no direct flight. Because there is no airfare ticket as direct. So there is a transfer to Shanghai, and from Shanghai I have to go all the way to Auckland. And no plans. Does this make any sense to you? No, right? Me either. But someone is making sense. It's Tony Huang. It's not me. But God is chasing after me because I am in unbelief. God has to give evidences that it is him who is speaking to me. Still after 14 years, okay? still after this crazy lifestyle. Because I'm very German, okay? That would you have to understand. I'm very systematic. You know, internal, I'm German. I'm not Korean, all right? I'm not even American. I'm German. I'm pure European, all right? That would, I mean, some people are looking at me, hey, you are European. And I cannot re-share my story, but let somebody else tell you what my story. So now we are planning to go to New Zealand, and then the Lord is stirring and reminding me that I know someone in New Zealand, that I have met him 2013 in Jerusalem, a Maori leader. And then so I'm getting in touch with this Maori leader that I got to know in Israel and sharing that we are coming to New Zealand and that I felt prompted to meet him. So he is making the gesture that he wants to meet up with us day after of our arrival. But on that day of the meeting, early morning, I'm getting a message. Or actually, on the day as we arrived around 3 p.m. or 4 p.m. afternoon, and I'm getting a message from him at 11 p.m., okay, that night, that he is not feeling good, that he feels that he got a cold and that he doesn't want to give this virus to us, so therefore he is very polite and saying he's canceling the meeting. And I'm shocked, because the only plan why I came to New Zealand was to meet up with this person. And my only plan was cancel. I'm devastated. I'm showing that to Tony. Tony, hey, this is happening. Did you really hear from the Lord that we have to come to New Zealand? I'm complaining to Tony the whole night, okay? Did you really hear? Did you? And then Tony is kind of, oh, I don't know. Maybe. Let me pray. And I'm getting more crazy, okay? Hey, I came all the way here. And the only plan is cancel. And I'm getting so stressed up, okay? So therefore, I'm taking a bath, all right? I'm taking a bath and then trying to calm me down, okay? And saying and complaining to the Lord, Lord, why did you make to come to all the way here, canceling my only thing that I have to do here? And then the Lord is stirring my heart with his joy and peace and righteousness. He calms me down. He gives me the confidence that he is in charge, that nothing is wasted, that everything is according to his time plan. It's so precise. In his peace, the Lord speaks. And he says, the things that I'm sharing right now, please write a message to him, to the Maori leader. And I am rewriting what I'm hearing from the Lord to this Maori leader, a long message. I'm not getting a reply from him until the day after, 7 a.m. And he is willing to meet. Doesn't matter if he has a call, but he says, I'm opening up my house. Please come to my house. I have to see you. Me and Tony, we are on our way to see this Maori leader at his house early morning. And he's preaching to us, teaching to us for 5 hours without giving us the opportunity why we are here, okay? We sit on the table and he starts to talk for 5 hours. And do you know what the end conclusion out of that talk is? He pinpoints to me and says, you, Peter, you have to come with me to, should I mention that island? I don't want it to create a spiritual tourism. That's the issue. And then everybody tries to go there and then, oh, where can I see the angel? Oh, where can I see the presence of God? Okay, let me say a Pacific island, all right? A Pacific island in Melanesia, all right? Not Polynesia, but Melanesia, all right? Melanesia is Vanuatu. I mean, you can look up those New Caledonia and et cetera, right? So it's one of them, all right? But I'm not going to mention who they are right now. So he is saying that I have to go there next week. And I'm saying, no, I'm not going there next week. You are also crazy like this guy next to me. What in the world is this people's group doing to me? Right? I'm busy. I have to go back to Korea. I say no. I go back to hotel. The Lord shows up. You go to that land. You better make your way to go to that island. In fear and trembling, I'm calling up the Maori leader and say, hey, I'm going to come with you. So I have to make all these changes, which is just completely nuts, right? And book a flight to that island, and which is so expensive. And I mean, it's like just crazy, crazy things that I have to make it possible, okay? It's stretching me to the edge, really to the edge. I have no choice. And I am there. And then they set up this meeting with all the leadership from that island, okay? Spiritual leaders, political leaders, government leaders, you name it. 70 of them. But the strange thing is, I am invited to come to them in the afternoon. And they foretold me, or the Maori leader foretold me, what they are doing in the morning. In the morning, they are all coming together to discern before the Lord why I have come. All right? So they are hearing from the Lord why this guy from all the way from Korea has come to this island, right? And then they are hearing and they are receiving a clear message from the land, from the Lord. And if I cannot comply with that message, which they are not going to share with me, all right, then I'm going to be kicked out. You are thank you, but no thank you here, all right? So I am in this meeting with all the 70 people leadership, and then I don't know what to say, right? I don't know how to convince them why I am here. And I am just sharing out of my heart without knowing what I'm saying, okay? I'm just sharing out of my heart for 1.5 hours. And after 1.5 hours, all the leaders are complying to me in accord that they have received the same message that I am speaking right now. And it's done. God orchestrated. Everybody is in compliance. Surrender to the Lord. Back to business. God's business. And then after that session, you know, one of the leaders is coming up and says, could you also speak to next generation? And I said, okay, sure, why not? And I didn't think how many people there will be coming into it, maybe 10, 20, 30. I mean, I didn't think much, okay? So they picked me up at the hotel where I was staying, and then they drove me to that venue where the meeting is going to held, all right? I'm stepping into the venue. It's a huge stadium, and 70,000 young people are there. Okay? And they're worshiping, and they say, you have to preach. And I say, I have to preach? To this crowd? I'm not ready. But they heard from the Lord that I have to share the message to this young generation. I see only black hats and with staring eyes. I don't know what to say. But the Lord is sharing my heart to share from Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. And as I was sharing Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 to 6, the Lord said, that very passage is fulfilled today in this island. The day before, all the father's generation, the leaders laid down their hearts. Now, we have a corporate next generation from that land coming together and surrendering their hearts before the Lord. And by surrendering the hearts before the Lord is taking this heart and knitting it together. That the hearts of the fathers is turned to the sons. And the hearts of the sons is turned to the fathers. And making it one. So that God has the legal rights to bless the land. hey, when do I have to end? By what time? Am I still on time? I got the schedule from Corinne. I don't want it to... So on my final meeting, they're sharing with me something, what has happened for the past 40 years in that island. In 1984, that was the first prayer assembly in South Korea, the World Prayer Assembly. Pastor Yonggi Cho was calling all the world leaders who are involved in the prayer ministry to come to Korea to gather together before the Lord. And then so few leaders from that island group also wanted to join that first prayer assembly. But because of the lack of the finance, they were not able to go. And in this grief of pain that they were not able to join the first prayer assembly, they were before the Lord, and the Lord comforted, don't worry, just do the prayer assembly here in this island with your people. You don't have to go there in order to receive the same glory and the grace. So what he did, he gathered all the people in a prayer chain for 24 hours, and they were before the Lord. And this one leader, he's called by the name of Michael. He is having an open vision. The Lord is taking him to the heavenlies. And as he was seeing something, he sees this smoke going up to the throne room. And then he is zoom in where the smoke is starting, and he sees Korea. And the Lord says, this is the prayer incense of all the saints who gather together in South Korea from the world. And then he sees this incense going up, and as it touches the throne room, it changes to the glory that he has never seen before. And it comes down to the utmost part of the earth in the Pacific Islands. And it touches ground on there. And he sees a tornado, a tsunami building up of his glory from the islands. And it rises up and it touches the whole Asian countries. Until the whole world is covered with his glory as the waters covers the sea. And that's the vision that he got 40 years ago. And from that moment on, the whole nation is pursuing this vision to fulfilling in that land, not in the church's level, but in the land. They even have their own constitution after it, the kingdom constitution, kingdom economical system, kingdom social system, a transformation that I have never seen and heard before. I was jealous because that was what I was chasing after for the past 14 years. And now I am in this very remote island that nobody heard before. Even I have never heard of this island before. And seeing what God was doing for the past 40 years. But it came to an end in 2017. Because there was a missing link. But guess what? That missing link was what I was dealing for the past 14 years. And I was given and able to provide that missing link. So they were stirred to continue on that vision. And I revisited that island a couple months ago, I believe, right? A couple months ago. And now we are in a process. Next year I'm going back, and then now I'm not only talking to that one island group, but the whole Melanesia and Polynesia. So it's like around 12 countries where I'm talking to the Congress, the finance minister, you name it, the premier, the prime minister, the president, etc., in order to see the whole group of the islands to be changed as a kingdom of God. God is doing something and preparing this earth to receive him back. That I have not imagined before, that I have not seen before. I have seen many things from the Lord, but this is something on a very level that I have never, never, never seen and heard and experienced before. But God is so precise. Do you know why? The seed that was sown was the uncle of my wife, Pastor Yonggi Cho, 40 years ago. After 40 years, the next generation of that one man, of Pastor Yonggi Cho, is traveling to that very island to revive what God has spoken, what has birthed out of it, to continue to raise up this child that was conceived but never be birthed. Now the child is birthed. This is how God is doing. God is in control, guys. God is in control of the whole universe. It seems to be that everything is going down the drain, right? And it is going to be. The world system is going to go down the drain. And if you stick with that world system, you will go down with the drain. You will give up your rights in order to receive the happiness that they are offering. I'm very clear. I can share more details, but I am not able to do it, okay? If you wanted to hear more, then please come after the service. I don't know what to offer. It's not going to be funny. Just one statement that I wanted to make, okay? There is a set agenda, okay? Set agenda that was pursued since 1999, all right? From the UN Council. I'm not going to go to the detail because I have signed so many NDAs that I don't want it to, you know, get in trouble, okay? But there is certain set agenda that it is pursued by, all right? And in order to fulfill this agenda, do you know how much money is in this pool? Should I share that number? 189 trillion US dollar. Listen carefully. That's the amount of 89% of the whole world capital. All right? 189 trillion is in this pool in order to pursue for that agenda to happen. And which is going to happen by 2030. All right? Buckle up. Do you know what your buckle up is? Emet and Hesed. Your buckle up is going to be Emet and Hesed. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Your complete surrender before Him. Being completely aligned with Him. You don't do anything unless the Father's. You do only what the Father's is doing. You do only what the Lord is speaking to you. Until then, you wait. Impatient. Because the fruit of the Holy Spirit will enable you. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is the fullness of the Holy Spirit internally. The fullness of the Holy Spirit outwardly is the dunamis, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the power action. But the fullness of the Holy Spirit internally in a person, which is going to be shown by the fruit of the Spirit. That will give you the power to abide yourself in Jesus Christ, to anchor yourself deeply to the Lord, to His truth and loving kindness, the internal aspect of God Himself. It's going to be bumpy. It's going to be rough. Should I give you one more notch? One more thing? If you go to the book of, I believe, Jeremiah or Nehemiah, there is this term, the tribulation of Judah. This prophet is mentioning that the people of Israel is going through a trial, through difficulty, through persecution, and which have seen throughout the ages, through whole 2,000 years. I can give you stories and stories, but especially the highlight was during the Second World War, where 6 million people, among the 6 million, 1.1 million people were Jewish children. I have a heart for Israel. Why? Because I lived there for 5 years. My roots are embedded in Israel. My children grew up there. I'm not an Israeli. I'm not Jewish. But it was because of the Lord. But with the trial that it is happening right now to this people's group all over the world, it's just cruel. It's beyond what has happened after the Second World War. I don't want it to be politically correct, because all the media, what is talking about the Palestinian, etc., it's wrong, because I experienced it, what the true side of is. I experienced the terror, terrorized every day by these Arab people. Even though I was not Jewish. And the Old Testament was foretelling this. But do you think this is going to end here? If you look closely to the word of the Lord, starting from the Sermon on the Mount, because the very first passage of Matthew chapter 5 gives us the core value of his kingdom lifestyle. Do you agree? Amen? But what is the last blessing? The last blessing is, blessed are those who are not persecuted? No? Blessed are those who are persecuted because of my namesake. That's going to be the last blessing. Very sobering, right? Because that's not what we are expecting. This is what the world is going for. That $189 trillion is going to make that a people's group who are the true follower of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, okay? The true. Who are truly abiding his value and his system, who are truly abiding his truth and his loving kindness. I'm sorry to share that with you. They will be persecuted. The things that is going to happening right now with the Israelis is going to happen to this people's group very soon. How can we make us ready? How can we build the highway? It's not only for you, but the Lord has the lead. The Lord is with you, and you are already embedded with a core DNA that the Lord is in need at this hour. By raising up the flag, the standard that God has given you, people's group will follow you. They will find shelter under the wings of the Lord that you will create it. This is not only for you guys. I'm very sorry. Don't be selfish anymore. This is not me anymore, all right? Let's get rid of that. Me Christianity is not existed, never existed, okay? Ever before. It's because of him. And he asks you, I am in need of you. I am in need of you because you carry something that I am desperately needing at this hour. Not only for you, but for the whole people's group. Amen? That's the message. That's the message that the Lord has pressed upon my heart to deliver to you guys. The past 4 years was wake-up call. Now we have to build, we have to remove, and we have to create that highway of the Lord to raise up his kingdom standard. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I know it was not easy, but let it be your grace, your love, your kindness to surround us, to understand your heart desire. Let us be connected with you, Lord, in oneness, so that we are having the desire to follow you, to be complete with you. All the glory to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's stand. As Pastor Peter was sharing and preaching, I was trembling inside. Not because of the challenge, but because the Lord would be so gracious to us to call us out as his remnant, to express his heart to us about the need of the hour, to call Pastor Peter to walk with us and to come here today to deliver this message. The verse that's been resonating with me for probably the last year, 6 months, very familiar one, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That's the call for us. Trust in the Lord with all our heart. Everything. All in. Nothing reserved. Nothing hidden. The dark things brought to the light. So we can give our whole hearts to the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. There are things that are happening today. There are things that the Lord's moving. There are things that the Spirit is moving. There is the spiritual warfare that is taking place. If you try to survive based on your own understanding, you will have no clue as to how to live, what to do, what to believe in, what to trust. You will not. It's totally so far beyond our understanding. The only way we're going to survive in terms of and glorify and prosper is by just learning to follow the Lord. That's it. That's why he says, do not lean on your own understanding, your own intelligence, your own reason, your own knowledge, the ways of the world. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. The city on a hill, our leadership, we don't know what we're doing. We don't know what it's going to look like. But the Lord, step by step, one step at a time, is giving us direction, prompting. And the one thing that Peter spoke, this resonant, is like, it's to be his kingdom family. That means not just superficial family on Sunday mornings, or not just Sunday mornings in your small group. It's being committed to being his kingdom family 24/7. That's what we need, but that's what people need to see. A community that's walking and living and functioning in that way. And so I felt like the Lord said, don't sing today. Don't close with singing. Don't just sing songs of worship, because the worship's going to be in what we do from this point on. The decisions we make, the commitment we make to pursue him, that's the worship. Not just with singing, not with songs. Don't cheapen that by just singing to me today. Just close the service. We go home and we settle it with the Lord. Because really, there's no other way. There's no other way. So Lord, we just come before you. Thank you for giving us this word from you. Thank you, you have seen something in us and cultivated something in us and have cared and loved us enough, Lord, to call us, Lord. To call us to be set apart for you. And to be able to experience the fullness of what you have for us. And so, Lord, whatever you need to do, surgery, open heart surgery, whatever you need to do, Lord Jesus, do it for our sakes and for your kingdom and for our friends, loved ones, neighbors, the community that needs to see a people who are sold out to you. Thank you, Lord. Your call does not come met with an equally and even overwhelming chesed. Your presence, your being, your loving kindness, God, that will sustain us. So thank you, Lord. We love you. We bless you. Sanctify us. And with the love you give us, we want to just love you and honor you back in return. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'll be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.